First thing, I just before we even get started, just a request. Actually, we don't have such a large audience, so it's probably easier to stay on track. But if we're going to have questions, then we're going to end up getting off topic. And this type of discussion could very easily branch off to who knows where. So just if we have, I don't mind sticking around to whenever we can answer questions. You know, not everybody has to stick around either. Whoever has questions, I'll gladly discuss whatever topics there are when we're done. But just the few thoughts that I had that I wanted to share with you on the topic. To begin with, I mean, much of what I'm going to tell you comes from either from my Rabbein, or I heard a number of tapes from Rav Pam Zecher Lebracha. They're in Yiddish, so just for your benefit, I just pass on little pieces of information as we go along. And I spoke to my father and various other places where I'm sharing the information with you. It's a fairly good source. Again, if you have any questions, we'll discuss it at the end. Continuing along this train of thought, it's very important, and you might be surprised that I'm going to say this, but it's very important that your parents be comfortable with the girl that you're dating. Without going into specifics, there could be many problems if your parents are unhappy with the sheriff for whatever reason, or they didn't know about something, and then they find out about something, and then they're very uncomfortable with it. But then again, you already met the girl, and you want to continue, and so on. One has to really seriously consider the fact that if your parents are not comfortable with the shidduch, then it's going to be a cause of tension specifically between your mother and this girl who might be your wife, and that could be cause serious issues in your own marriage. And the easiest way to make sure that your parents are comfortable with the shidduch is to have them involved in the checking out process. And I think hopefully everybody sitting here has a good relationship with your parents. And it will save you also much bittul Torah, much heartache trying to get good information out of people. Your mother is also definitely much more capable of speaking to women who have access to the information. And women have a good sense of intuition to be able to hear. You know, shidduch talk is not real talk. You have to know how to read between the lines where people answer, oh yeah, she's very bright. You know, what is she trying to say? You have to hear how she's saying it and the nuance and this and that. You know, she's pretty. You know, she's very bachent. It's a good one. That means that she's not pretty usually, at least in my days. Anyway, so a mother is always a good screen to be able to check out the shidduchim that are coming in. And like this, your mother's on the same page. By the time you go out, hopefully she asked enough people and she checked into it enough. She's comfortable. She's like, okay, go ahead. If something comes up later, okay, listen, you have to talk to Das Torah if there's an issue, whether or not it's worth pursuing the shidduch once you find out something in the middle. But hopefully you find that all the issues are already looked into before. You know the issues before. And you either decided to go through with it or not. And if you go through with it, then your parents are happy. So, wonderful. And then if you end up getting engaged, then everyone's on the same page and everyone's happy, and then it's a wonderful symbol. Okay? We're good? Okay. Another thing to look for, I would add this on to the Midas Tavis, but it's a specific attribute. That it's not necessarily a Midah, it's more of a personality issue. The Ksav Sefer says in this past week's parasha that Avraham Avinu specifically stressed that he was looking for a girl who came from Me'artzi U'Mimailadti. That was his stress. He didn't stress in the pasuk where you see Avraham Avinu talking. He doesn't stress to go to my family. Eliezer changed it around. Eliezer said, "Go." When he's talking to Besu and Lavan, he said, "No, Avraham Avinu told me to go al Beis Avi v'al Mishpachti." So Eliezer changed it. But if you look at what Avraham said, Avraham really said, go to where I grew up. Go to where I was living and to where I grew up. And the Ksav Sefer wants to say that the focus on that is that in Eretz Canaan, Avraham Avinu didn't have a lot of Bali Tshuva. As a nefesh asher asu b'charan, Avraham Avinu made loads and loads of Bali Tshuva in Charan. So Charan was a place where people were flexible. They were able to listen with an open mind to what Avraham had to offer. and they talked to became Balichuv. In Eretz Canaan, the people were inflexible. They were closed-minded. They didn't want to hear. Oh, you talk about God, forget it. I'm not listening. I'm not interested. I have my lifestyle. I'm not interested in changing. That's it. So Avraham Avinu said that if we're looking for a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, we can't take anybody from Eretz Canaan because these people, they're inflexible. They don't know how to change. They don't know how to adapt to the situation. My father once said in a speech that he gave, he said the best sign of a healthy marriage is flexibility. Especially if each side is flexible, you have an issue that'll come up. One side, sometimes this side bends, sometimes the other side bends, and then mainly you get through all the issues. If one side is inflexible, then you're going to be in for trouble because you can't deal with the issues without being flexible. So if I don't know, it's difficult to research this beforehand, but if someone hears that a girl is very stubborn, or very extremely opinionated, having some opinions is good, but being opinionated, when the girl is not willing to hear the other person, what the other person has to say, is not a good thing in a marriage. Because that means she's inflexible, she's not open-minded to hear the other side of the story. Okay, we'll talk about you being open-minded in a minute, but not after that yet. And the last thing on my list, which is really difficult to find out beforehand, but I'm just putting it on the list of things that are priorities, because if somebody thinks this is not a priority, it's a mistake. And that is that the girl has to be pretty to you. I didn't say beautiful, I didn't say pretty in general, I said pretty to you. Somebody that thinks that, oh, the girl has such a great personality, we had such a nice talk, and it goes out for a few times, and the girl is just not pretty to him. He's just not getting anywhere. He's not attracted to her at all. And I'm not talking about sparks. I'm not talking about electricity. I'm talking about he's just not attracted. He thinks she's a very drab girl, and she's a wonderful, sweet girl, but just not for him. Then in that case, she's not for you. One of the Gemara in Taina says, and I want to read the Gemara, even though I'm trying not to get bogged down with different Torah here, but I want to read the Gemara because I found it astounding. My father told me over the Gemara in Tainus, on the Avdali, the Gemara says there were three people that asked for things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalai Kahagim. They asked improperly. They should have asked differently, and they asked wrong. Two of them turned out okay, and one didn't. So one of them that turned out okay was Eliezer. Baruch Hashem, Yitzchak Avinu got Rivka, everything was wonderful. But in truth, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a wrong way. Because what did he say? He said, the girl that comes out, that's going to give water to myself and to my camels, it's a proof, a clear proof from Shammai, she's the one. So the Gemara says, it doesn't help if I'm in bed. Okay, let's get the tights. So the Gemara says, Yochel afil chigeres afil suma. But what would be if she would have been, if she would have been lame? What would be if she would have been blind? We could answer the Gemara, what if she would have been ugly? So he would have been in trouble. It's not Oysa Hechachta. L'maisa, Baruch Hashem, it ended up being Rifka, and everything was wonderful. But in truth, he asked improperly. And to just ask for Shidduch, a girl who's a Balas Nidus, a beautiful Balas Nidus, a wonderful family. The bottom line is, though, you have to have a girl who is pretty enough for you. And I want to qualify what I'm saying, if I can. It's hard to be... I'll try to be as clear as I can. When a person's married, you don't need to be married to a knockout. You don't need to be married to somebody who you're going to carry around as your souvenir to show everybody, look what I have. I have the most beautiful girl on the block. That's not what you need. You're not marrying a girl to show everybody else, look what I got, I have the prize. I'm the prize winner, I have the trophy. The point is not a trophy. The point is you need to have a wife who's pretty enough so that you feel you have enough for you. There exists out there beautiful, beautiful girls. And if you don't feel that you have a wife who's pretty, at least that you consider pretty, that you're attracted to, then you're going to be in trouble because your eyes are always going to be wandering. That even when your person's married, there are beautiful girls out there, and one still has to have Shemir Say Night. But when you have the, when someone sees, let's just say, you see a beautiful girl, but you have your wife that you feel is pretty, so then you're able to control yourself. Say, okay, very nice, so she's beautiful, I'm going to look away, I'm going to control myself because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I know that, Baruch Hashem, when I get home, I still have a pretty wife waiting for me. What if a guy feels he has a drab wife waiting for him and he just fell into it because he got pushed into it? He's in big trouble. You're not doing anybody any favors by getting married to a girl that you think is not pretty. That doesn't mean she has to be beautiful, and it doesn't mean, and this is a nakuda that you really have to have, you really have to talk to a Rebbe about to make sure you don't end up. People think it has to be like this massive electricity going on. It's not true. I'm not going to go into it now. It's not the topic for right now. But it's not true. As long as there's an attraction there and you feel that, you know, in your brain, you tight her up as pretty, and to a certain degree, by the time you've gone out 7-8 times, you feel a certain attraction, then that's enough. That's fine. But if you're reaching a point where there is no attraction at all, then it's not for you. And it's a good idea to discuss it with the Rebbe to make sure you're making the right decision and you're saying no to something, you know, without pushing away the right shidduch. But this is a very, very important nakuda. Okay? Are we together? Okay. Now that I spent enough time on that topic. Okay. Now that we gave a whole list, so just to go back to, just to finish up with what we started out with that story. So, sorry, I stopped coughing here. So at the same time, so now we have a list, and it's a good idea also for a person to sit down and, besides these serious things that I think are pretty much priorities, more or less, to sit down and maybe add a few other things. Some people might specifically be looking for a girl who's intelligent, you know, or extra intelligent. Some people like a girl who's more worldly. There's other things that a person might want to add to the list of things that are either the things that he deems to be more important or things that he would deem to be very nice. If it happened, it would be nice. And to list them down and sit down on a piece of paper and go through those things. And obviously every person's paper is going to look different because, you know, for one person, Dafka has to have a girl who's very smart. The other person, Fakert, if he has a girl who's very smart, he's in trouble. He's better off with a girl who's, you know, who's basically where he's holding. So each person's going to be different. Each person's going to have a different list, but it's good to have a list. And after you have a list, you have to realize there is no girl that's going to match everything on that list. There is no girl that's going to be a balas midas with a perfect family background, with the same hashkafas, who's also beautiful, who also is whatever else that you wanted. There is no girl out there. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. There's going to be something that you're going to have to give in on. And therefore, it's important to mamish, to have those things to some degree in priority order, and to see what could you give up on. Well, if you found out that she has a temper, are you willing to live with that? I don't know. You think about it. Maybe not. You know, what if she has red hair and you don't love red hair? All right, I don't know. Maybe she's still attractive. You know, maybe you don't love it, but so she'll get her shape to be a little browner. Maybe you still have to be attracted to her. I would say, you know, maybe it's worth going out and seeing if it's good, if it could work. Don't laugh. I'm serious. There are people that won't go out with girls with red hair. They exist out there. They won't even hear about it. Okay, if you feel that strongly, then it's not for you. Somebody might, you know, be on the fence. If it's something you're on the fence about, then it's worth looking into. Well, she has everything else. Well, then maybe it's worth meeting her. So, and this is not just a practical way of breaking it down, so that you could come into the shidduch feeling comfortable that this is something that, like, now I'm going to fall into this. Let me see what happens when I go out. No, I know what's there. I know there's definitely what to talk about. And then you go out. And if it works, perfect. Wonderful. Okay. Now that's all into checking out the girl. So now we have to get back to also doing some thinking about what we could do to make ourselves more ready for marriage. So the first thing is that if we want a girl who's going to have midas tayvos, then probably we should work on having good midas ourselves. And one of my hang-ups, I wasn't going to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. One of my hang-ups is that I very much dislike when guys sit around in groups and each guy is dissing the other guy. He's coming up with another line, another wisecrack to put down the other guy. And everything's always at the expense of the other guy. And everybody's laughing, but it's really miskabed b'klein chaveret, which means that you're becoming honored by the other person becoming down, which is not a very good habit if you're thinking about getting married, because any girls are very, very sensitive. And one stupid comment that you make, you know, you say something that's insulting to them, and they can remember it for weeks afterwards. It's very dangerous. Guys have a thick skin. It's all right. You sit around the dorm. And even then, you have to be very careful, because I know some people that got very, very hurt this way. You know, they put on a good show afterwards, but Lamaisa, it really hurts them. So this is one thing. Now that I have a platform, so I could get up on my soapbox, and you know, I don't like it. But besides for that, it's if a person could start thinking about the other person. Well, we are very self-centered people, and even after we're married, it takes a tremendous amount of work. I'm still not there yet. And you have to, a person generally puts his own needs first. That's the way a person is. That's the way a person was born. So you have to learn how to look out of your own self-centeredness and see, well, what does she need? Maybe I want to do this, but she needs that. And maybe her need is greater than mine. That's after you're married. The same thing is true if you have a roommate. You know, he wants to go to sleep, but you have to do something. Well, I don't know whose need is greater than him. Maybe you could work something out. Maybe you could have a different light. Maybe you could go into a different room. Maybe he could rest in a different room, so you could do something. There's lots of things to deal with, to work out, to be able to see if there's a way that he could have what he needs and you could have what you need. But getting out of the box of yourself and getting beyond yourself is a good way of preparing for marriage. And more importantly, in thinking about this, is if we don't try to work on our own midos, it's a little bit difficult to expect that, well, my wife is going to have good midos and I'm not going to have good midos. What's going to end up happening is that she's going to reflect you. If you're always insensitive to her, you can't expect her to always be sensitive to you. It's not fair. You know, it's like she should go on a diet and I'm gonna pig out. You know, I want her on a diet, but I don't have to be on a diet. You know, I could eat whatever I want in the house. It's not gonna work. So it's unfair to expect her to have beautiful meters and to raise your children to have beautiful meters. In the meantime, you're not even thinking about the topic. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is something that's probably a lifelong job, and it's worthwhile starting now. And Zev, you'll hear more about this in a class in Shmos, is working on good communication. People that, sometimes it happens, and not so often, usually in learning Gemara is a little easier, but sometimes it happens that two chavrusas are fighting, they're mamish not listening to each other. He has one teretz to the, you know, he has one teretz, or he has a teretz, this guy has a kashi, he's not even interested in the teretz. He holds it's a shtarke kasha. He's not even interested in the teretz, as Chavrusa is saying. As Chavrusa holds it's a stupid kasha. He's not even listening to the kasha. He's busy with his teretz. And they're busy fighting, and they're not communicating. Because one guy has his agenda, and the other guy has his agenda. It doesn't happen so often, but I've seen it happen. They're not communicating. Each guy has, his mind is closed. He's not interested in what the other person has to say. So, the first thing to do is astamazi in learning. It's good to have, if your mind is open, so you might end up getting to the truth and to the emes of what the pshat in the Gemara is. But even besides learning Gemara, sometimes, you know, people sit around shmoozing, let's say, whether it's by lunch or easier is in the dormitory, you know, sometimes the shmooze gets a little bit deeper than just shooting the breeze. And are you really listening to the other person? Are you making eye contact with him? Are you letting him know that you're listening? Are you adding to his conversation? Are you asking questions that are pertinent to what he's saying? Are you really listening, or are you just spacing out and just letting him talk? Because spacing out and letting a person talk is not listening. It's not. And it's a lot easier to do that than it is to listen. Listening requires an effort, even though listening is like really a shovel. You're not really doing anything, you're sitting there, but you really are doing something. You're listening, it's an action. You have to listen. So it's a good idea to, before you actually, for those of you that haven't gone out too much, before you even go out on a date, is to learn how to listen. This is mamash the key to a happy marriage, is good communication. And it'll also help you a lot. We'll talk about on the date itself, which I'll get to shortly. It'll help you while you're dating itself. If you learn how to listen, then the date itself will be more geschmack, because you're listening to her, and hopefully she'll be listening to you. Have a much more enjoyable conversation. I'll get back to in a few minutes. Okay, so these are the nekudas that we've basically covered, which are the virtue of Pam, that marriage is eternal, and therefore we should take it seriously, to prioritize, and some of those things that we covered were...
What was Lashon Yud?
Eternity?
Yeah,
Binyan Adel, yes. And to come up with a list, most importantly, with some priorities that I think are midos and hashkafas and family background, flexibility, and finding out if she's pretty, which you probably won't be able to find out beforehand. I think I said that, but you will not really find out beforehand if she's pretty, because everyone's pretty when it comes to shidduch lingo. But at least when you do go out, that is a very important thing on your list. And then whatever else it is that you want to put on your list, with the realization that there is no girl that's going to match the whole list. Okay. And then we said, in terms of working on a person's self, is to work on a person's midos, and being more sensitive to a person and trying to get beyond yourself, and thinking about learning listening skills, which will help a person while dating, and definitely will help you while you're married. And I still haven't figured out how to do it yet, but whatever. I could give you a few good books. Okay. Fine. So this is really basically before you go out. Just a few nakudas just to add on to this. While you're on a date, what are some things that I could maybe add to maybe help make the experience a little easier? And most of this comes from either from my rabbeim or from my father. It's a good practice. Excuse me. It's a good practice. I wouldn't say it's a hard and fast rule, but it's easier when you're dating to try to limit the first two dates to nothing serious. To just becoming acquainted, to learn about her family, to see, could you have a good conversation with this girl? Do you enjoy being with her? Do you want to see her again? What do you feel like when you drop her off? Could you know, it was like not kashmak at all, or yeah, it was a nice conversation. I wouldn't mind schmoozing with her again. That's all you really need to see. You don't need to hash out any hashkafa things. You don't need to really start digging for any, to see if there's any dirt that you want to find out. Just see if you could enjoy being with this girl. That's all you really need to know. And once you get past that point, which is why everyone says the first 2 dates are very boring, because you keep talking about Eretz Yisrael, family, but those are important things to find out, because you need to find out about what's her background, and you just need to schmooze about stupid things just to see if you can enjoy having a conversation with her. Once you get past that point, you still have to schmooze, and you could still talk about what happened during the day, what she saw, what you heard, what was anything you want, but then you might want to also bring in some other topics that you consider to be of importance to see. You may have heard that she has the same hashkafas, but you need to really know that she has the same hashkafas. So those things that are important to you, you might want to discuss. It doesn't have to be punked in a third date. That's not a hard and fast rule. But after that point, okay, you're ready. You're done with the stupid stuff. You can move on to something a little bit more serious. And that tends to deepen the relationship. If you already went out twice, you already have, there might be something there. And then you branch out the conversation to other topics, that tends to enhance the the relationship, and then you'll see if there's anything really there that you want to continue with. Okay, very often, probably the biggest worry, or maybe not, but I don't know. I think one of the biggest worries that a guy has is, what am I going to talk about on a date? To sit there for 3.5-4 hours, what am I going to talk about? I have nothing, I could sit. Lunch for half hour is one thing, but for 3.5 hours with a girl, mind you, that I have no idea, this creature that's like totally different than me, and she is totally different than you. You only find that out after you're married. But, try to talk to this girl for 3.5 hours. What are you going to talk about? So I'll tell you two things. The first thing is that it's a good habit to have something up your sleeve. Whether you listen to the radio and you heard the headlines, you might have something to comment on. You looked at the front page of the newspaper, or you had a shmooze in yeshiva and somebody mentioned something, or whatever it is. Or you haven't yet really talked about it in Eretz Yisrael, so there's always Eretz Yisrael to throw in if you've gone there, or vacation, or you've gone on vacation. I mean, there's loads of things that you could have up your sleeve that could be a topic that could branch off to who knows where. That at least when there's like serious like dead silence, that you have like something up your sleeve that you could throw in. It's a good habit. Now maybe this girl's not for you, or maybe it could be a great shidduch and she's just not opening up yet. It takes her time and she's not so talkative, and till things warm up a little bit, it may be a little slow. So it's a good idea to have something up your sleeve. And I mean that seriously, for real. So you might want to, you know, you could talk to you could talk to people beforehand and find something. What's a good topic? Okay. But more important than that, even though that is a very good piece of advice, but more important than that is, speaking of listening skills, if you truly listen to the other person, you shouldn't have too much problem having a conversation. I mean, she's doing something. She's either working or going to school or whatever. She's doing something with her life. So probably there's something to talk about that happened during the day. If you're really listening to what she's saying, if she feels that you're listening, she'll probably want to talk. And then you might have something to add on. And then that's called a conversation. Things just branch out in there, from there you end up talking about something else. It's enjoyable. So you have to, speaking, just a reminder of those things that we mentioned. When you're sitting and talking to a girl, make eye contact. Talk to her. Let her see that you are really talking to her. And then, in listening, you can make comments to what she's saying, so she really feels that you're listening. If you just you're just sitting there silent while she's talking, and then, you know, and then it's your turn, and then it's like, you know, like we have, like, you know, this is a debate floor, you know, your turn and then my turn. That's not a conversation. That's like, you know, each person taking a turn talking to the air. So if you're really listening and you're really commenting on what she's saying, then she'll enjoy talking to you, and you'll enjoy talking to her. Assuming that there's anything there at all, you know, whatever. Hopefully you checked that out enough that the shidduch makes some sense. So at least a decent conversation you should get out of the thing. Okay. So hopefully that'll be some helpful advice. Okay. The next thing I'm going to say is, don't jump on me, but I mean this seriously. And I know the Rosh Yeshiva feels more strongly about this, but I'm going to say it in my own way. And that is, when you come to the house, forget about how you want to dress on the date itself. When you come to a house, you have to dress b'kavodik. And it doesn't mean you have to wear a dark suit and a white shirt. I don't care if you wear a gray suit and a blue shirt. But you come dressed like a mitzvah. You know, seriously, a parent who's kind of saying, yeah, I'm giving you, you're not asking him permission, but he's basically saying, yeah, you can go out with my daughter. Once they'll at least feel that there's a certain cover that, you know, this person might be your father-in-law. Are you showing him a certain cover? You're like, I don't care about you. I want to see if the girl's for me, and then I don't care about you. That's mamish disrespectful. And parents take it seriously. They really do. Rabbi Kaufman has told me he's had numerous calls from parents who want to know, like, what's up with this? Guy shows up in a sweater. Well, what's going on? So it's not. I don't mind if you go out in a sweater. It could be a casual date. I don't. You know, fine. You're going out during the day, and you're going somewhere. You want to wear a sweater. Fine. So put on a jacket. Take it off when you get to the car. Or put the sweater. Or take your jacket off and put the sweater on later. Figure something out. But there should be a certain element. However you want to work it out. But at least the concept, at least I'm trying to give over. When you come to a parent of a girl, and you come to the house, you have to come with derech kavod. You know, forget about the fact that you represent a quote-unquote, you're a yeshiva bachur and you represent certain things. Forget about that. Just pasha derech eretz to a parent. If you want to take his daughter out, so at least show him some respect. And after that, you want to get comfortable, great. Leave the hat in the back seat if that's what you want to do. Leave the jacket open. I don't care. I don't mean you should give a girl a fake image. I don't mean you should show up in a white shirt and a dark suit and a hat and you should go on the date that way and that's not you. If it's not you, then don't do that every single day. She should see who you are. But there could be a certain amount of cover that you show to a girl's parents when you show up to the house. And I don't want comments on this now. You can talk about it later. Okay. Another thing that people are not aware of is that the derech eretz is that you don't walk out behind the girl if possible. Doesn't always work. Sometimes the girl gets to the door first and she knows the lock and this and that and she tries to help you out and she opens the door first. Fine. Say, if it happens, it happens. You leave it alone. You're not going to try to squeeze through to go first. But l'maisa derech eretz is, when you walk through a door, that you go first. Ladies first is not a Jewish concept. It's wrong. However, especially if you walk through a hotel lobby, if you go walk through a door, don't you dare let go of that door and let it swing in her face. Oh, no. You walk through the door, whichever way, if it pulls open, so then you keep your hand back behind you and you hold the door so she can walk in behind you until she catches the door. The door pushes open, then you walk through and you hold the door until she goes through the door, and then you let go. That would not be a good beginning of a date if you let go of the door and it slams in her face. But lamaisa, in terms of walking through a door, that's the derech eretz is that you walk through first. You shouldn't be staring at the back of a girl. It's not what you do. That's how it is. I see you looking. You're giving me the eyes.
No eyes.
No, that's the way it is. Okay, so you could be a gentleman and still be mekayim what's sugar passed for a ben toyer.
Opening the car door.
It's a good. I don't have it written down, so I'm gonna write it down quickly. So
that's the most important.
You're right.
That's the
I can't believe. Yes. You see, I haven't dated in a long time. That's what when you're married and you have kids, you just pop the doors and you know whatever's faster. You lose it after like 6 months. But anyway, no, it's a good point. Thank you for bringing it up. I appreciate it. Yes, when you come out of her house and you go to the door, you should open the door for her. It's more comfortable usually for a girl for her to close the door on her own, generally speaking. It's uncomfortable. She's climbing in. Whatever. Depending on how her skirt is laying, it's less comfortable if the guy's like staring at her till she's sitting, and then close the door. Let her close the door on her own. You most definitely should, you know, open, if you need to put the key in, open the door, and then let her get in, and you go to your side. Now, dropping her off is much more complicated. Now, I'm going to get in trouble. This is on tape again. But I'm going to try to... nothing is ever perfect. It never works that perfectly. Dropping off a girl is very awkward. It is very, very awkward. Because, well, it depends. If you are sure that you want to go out again, and you can tell in her eyes that she's very sure she wants to go out again, that's great. Wonderful. It's perfectly comfortable. And you should tell her that you had a wonderful time, and thank you so much. And if it's only the first couple of dates, don't tell her you want to see her again, but... you know, leave it at that. And then she'll know you had a nice time and you both call the shots and you go out again. It's great. It's wonderful. But sometimes you're not so sure. And even if you're sure, you're not sure. She's sure. So it's like very weird. So the first thing I want to say is you always say thank you. It makes no difference. She might say no. She might have had a horrible day. You might have had a horrible day. The fact is she consented to go out with you. There was a possibility of a shidduch here. You looked into it. On paper it looked good. Maybe you had a horrible time and you're probably going to say no as soon as you get home to call the shamcha and say forget it. But the mind says she went out with you. Fine. So she spent time trying to see if this worked. I'd say thank you. What do you lose? Derech Eretz. You don't have to say thank you, had a wonderful time, and give her a wrong message. Don't do that. But tell her thank you. Nothing. It's not going to come back to haunt you. Now, in terms of opening the door for her, it gets kind of sticky over there. Because usually a girl, most of the time... whatever. Now I'm going to get myself into trouble. But I try to give it over right.
Too late already.
All right. Most of the time, a girl will not wait for you to come out and open the door first so she could get out. Most girls will not do that. If she is still sitting there, then you could get out and let her out. But usually she will not. And usually, a date is very stressful. You know, by the time you finally drop her off, she's had enough. She just wants to get home, maybe talk to her parents a little, you know, and just go to sleep and crash. So, and she, for all you know, she may have to go to the bathroom. So she's not really hanging around waiting for you to open the door. Probably she'll just get out and just walk to the front door. Now if that happens and she's like headed straight to the front door, then there's no point in trying to walk her part of the way to the front door because she's almost there. By the time you get out of the car, she's goodbye. Now it doesn't mean that she didn't have a nice time. Again, she could be stressed out, she could have to go to the bathroom. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that you're not going to walk her to the front door. Let her go by herself. However, wait for her to go into the house. It's a lack of consideration. Even when you drop off a guy by a dormitory, you know, you should really wait and see the guy goes basically up the stairs. So I'm a shadayim out there. There's crazy people out there. Certainly a girl, when you drop her off, you want to make sure she gets in safely. So you wait for her to go in the house. If, especially if you had a nice time and she's not rushing to go into the house, and you could, you know, come around your side of the door and walk her to the door and make it nice, because I'm dating. I wouldn't walk her all the way to the door because then it's like awkward and then you have to say goodnight again and then it's like, it gets a little awkward. You know, walk her basically to the steps and then, you know, say goodnight and you walk back to the car and she'll walk into the house and then you'll call the shotgun and you'll see where you hold it. Am I being clear? I'm trying to make an awkward situation manageable.
The worst is when...
I hated this. I hated this part.
The worst is when it's a long driveway. That's the worst.
Well, yeah, and then you have to make a judgment call if you should get out of the car. All right, you'll figure out
the car, and then like you said, she's halfway there, but halfway there is still you can catch up for a long distance.
Sound like a man with experience, doesn't it? Okay, and just, I'm basically finished. Just one more, actually two more things, which are basically not on the date, but after the date. And those things are, and these are two very crucial nakudas, so please listen. The first thing is, besides talking to your parents, which is very helpful if you have a good relationship with them, and I didn't say it before, but I'm going to just to add in, it's important to sit down with your parents and tell them, what are you looking for? I mean, you might have a list, but if they don't have the list, it doesn't help for your mother to screen the girls if she doesn't know where you're holding. You know, she thinks you're looking for some highfalutin intellectual, and you're not there. That's not what you're interested in. Then she has to know. So, okay, that was just to add on to what I said before. But hopefully you have a good relationship with your parents, and your mother, your parents, I keep saying mother just because your mother checks out. It's easier for mother to talk to ladies, but your father also. Your parents are involved in the discussion process, and it makes things, again, much simpler than, you know, they're on the same page with you. They're fine. They're telling you to go ahead. If you want it, it's good. And that gives you a certain security to move on if that's what you want to do. But besides all that, which is very important, it's very important to talk to a Rebbe. Parents, l'maisa, are negeva davar. I mean, this girl might be their daughter-in-law. A Rebbe, firstly, is not a negeva davar. He doesn't have a vested interest. It doesn't matter to him. You either marry this girl or you marry another girl. It doesn't really matter to him. I mean, he wants to see you happy. That's all he wants. He wants to see you happy. He wants to see you have what you need. He wants to see you headed in the right direction. A Rebbe also frequently has more recent discussions with his Rebbeim that he could give you over his Kabbalah from his Rebbeim in dating. And especially as issues come up, so you have to sometimes make a decision. Is this a real issue? Should I say no? Am I getting myself into something I don't want to get into? So sometimes parents, you know, are in a game of davar. It's hard for them to see things impartially. They talk to a Rebbe, sometimes say, you know, go out one more time. Sometimes say, no, that's it, finished. You know, if that's the way you feel, then you have good grounds for saying no. I don't think a Rebbe will tell you to say no, but he'll tell you that you have good grounds for saying no. And then you feel more comfortable. You're not throwing away your shidduch, the right shidduch. This is the right way to go. And Mitzvah Shem, Eber still find you the right shidduch. So it's very, very important to find a Rebbe who you are comfortable talking to. Okay, and it doesn't have to be a Rebbe from here either. I mean, it could be a Rebbe from wherever. It could be a high school Rebbe for all I care. Somebody that you're close with that you could talk to. Okay. And the other nekuda, actually one more thing after this, is that it's probably usur, not probably, it is usur, to discuss names with other friends. Bachim think they're doing somebody else a favor, they're you know, talking about people they went out with, they think it might be good for him, but this might be good, this might be no good. You're not doing anybody any favor. It could be that a girl you went out with, maybe there's a certain aspect that wasn't for you, and it's mamish perfect to the other guy. But when you start talking about the chasrainess of a girl, you could mamish kill a good shidduch. I mean, I heard such an example, a mashal, is there was a guy in Lakewood, he was dating a girl, he was seriously considering getting engaged, and then he heard his friends talking about such and such a girl, and they said she was heavy. They said she was fat, whatever they said. And meantime, this guy wasn't so skinny himself, and he was fine with the way this girl looked. So she was a little heavy. He was also a little heavy. But Lamaisi broke her from the shidduch, because he wasn't going to go ahead and get engaged to a girl who his friends were going to look at, like, you know, as a fatso. They just killed a perfect shidduch. Mamash destroyed a perfect shidduch. And that's when the guy was listening. Certainly when you're talking to somebody else, yeah, I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe no, it's not to be discussed. If you really have a name of a girl that you think is good, so, you know, speak to the person's mother as if you were shalchan, that's fine. You know, or speak to a Rebbe to try to arrange a shidduch if you think that's going to work that way. But to go ahead and talk about your dating experiences and mention a name is outright lashon hara. It's mamish asur. Okay, and the last thing, just to close, is that there's no way to approach shidduchim without putting the Eibishter into the equation. To try to imagine that, you know, that, like I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezaveg zivugim, that somebody could go from, you know, how does somebody from Chicago end up marrying somebody from New York? Because there was a shadchan who knew somehow or other, how did that happen? Because the Eibishter has a lot of shluchim. And a shidduch, there is no way for a shidduch to happen, even if the two people are around the corner. L'maisa, a person has to ask Siyat HaShemayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to know when should he continue, when should he not continue, is it right for him, is it not right for him. Just to give you a line, that every time I used to go out, my grandfather used to tell me one line in Yiddish. I don't know if anybody knows Yiddish here. He used to say, the Eibishter zofirin in the richtige weg. The Eibishter should guide you in the right way. If it's the right shidduch, let it go smoothly, and you should find the right shidduch, and you should get married. And if it's the wrong shidduch, then you should realize it easily, and you should not go through with the shidduch. But the Eibishter is avir in the richtige way, because without the Eibishter, you're not going to get anywhere. So Mamela, we certainly can't leave tefillah out of the equation. When we saw in this Pesach's parasha, he said, what did Eliezer do? So, certainly beforehand, it's kedai to daven to the Hakadosh Baruch Hu to make it easy. Let it be the first one or the second one, gezuntheit. It's a big bracha if it happens easily. And if it's the wrong one, then you should realize it and not end up on the fourth day and have to make such more major decisions. You should realize it right away and it should be easy. And like this, hopefully, you'll go through the process with a clear head, knowing where you're headed, and hopefully everyone sitting here should find the shidduch easily, speedily, without any difficulties.
Amen.
Okay.
Now, sorry for the questions.
Now. Okay. Yes. Should we record this?
Yeah. No.
You can always cut it out later. Yeah, go ahead.
First question. Baruch Hashem, I grew up in an environment that would never ever change. And I asked a question earlier that is it wrong to... I did it one girl. So I can also say some mistakes that I made, I definitely learned for
the girls. What's the question? Is it?
It's kind of in the form of a story. So I think it's wrong for a guy to tell a girl he's looking for a girl a little bit better than him, because it might freak out a girl a little bit. But how does a guy approach necessarily with certain things? Let's say a person used to deal with in the past that he doesn't deal with now at the present. How does he deal with sharing over certain things just so the girl has to show if she would find out something's bad and would have a title? Why don't you tell me? Because if the guy feels it would not help.
Okay, that's a good point.
Let me just, a guy who has things in his past that he doesn't want to bring up now because it's not the person who he is now.
That's a very good point.
A lot of times, like we said, people... try to dig and find out, and that's all they can find.
Okay, there's no way for you to prevent somebody from digging and finding dirt if there is any. There is no way. However, even though, and I tell this to Hassan all the time, usually I'm too late by the time I discuss this, but it's true even when you're married, you don't have to be straight up honest with everything with the girl you're dating or with your wife if it's not negeya the marriage.
You can't lie to
her. Absolutely not. If a girl's going to ask you, let's say for example, a girl asks you if you smoke and you do smoke, you better tell her that you do smoke. If a girl asks you, did you ever smoke and you did, then you have to answer truthfully. But, for example, you don't have to, find out what she thinks about a guy who used to have a girlfriend. It's not important. Let's say right now a guy's straightened out. He doesn't have a girlfriend right now. He's done with that, the baby stuff. He's finished with that. Now he's dating seriously, wants to get married, and finished. When he was in high school, he had a girlfriend. Why does this girl have to know? Even after you're married and your wife knows most of your secrets, why does she have to know that there was ever another girl in your life?
When she finds out, she's going to freak out.
Hearing it from you is not going to make it any better now. Why do you want to rock the boat? If she'll ever come to you with tainus, say, why didn't you tell me? See, because it wasn't important to our relationship.
So that reflects negativity upon the girl if a girl were to ask these type of questions.
I don't know does it affect negatively? I think girls are they want to know certain things. It could be if a girl would know these things before and she might be hesitant to continue. Like, how does she know that you really changed, that you're really now a different person?
They don't.
Well,
they don't.
They don't. So, but then she might not be comfortable. That's her prerogative. That's her choice. If she's going to ask you a straight-up question, you have to answer, but you don't have to introduce topics to bring up dirt on yourself. Absolutely not.
That's what I was saying before about looking for a girl from within you. I spoke to a captain about this Friday night. I mentioned to him something that I thought was true, and he sort of agreed with me. Every guy is looking for a girl. A lot of guys are looking for a girl who's firmer than they are because they know that they might fall in certain areas, and they want to make sure. Let's say a guy has a buffer, does go to movies, but when he's married, he doesn't want to have that type of relationship with his wife. He's looking for a girl who doesn't go to movies to make sure that they don't go. But then again, the girls also are looking for guys who are a little bit firmer than them because they feel the same way. They want to make sure. So it ends up being a perfect shidduch. The girls look for a guy firmer, the guys look for a girl that's firmer, and it ends up being a good shidduch.
If it was not masculine, he was.
That kind of is contradictory, this statement you just said.
Well, it depends. But my question is, though, in that scenario, why does she think you're firmer than her?
Okay, so you're saying things that might not necessarily... You're saying things that like, let's say... If the shots and ask your mother, does your son go to movies? And she says no, right? So then the girl thinks, oh, good, he's a good guy.
But it has to be true that you don't go to movies.
It's something that you don't want to do, right?
But do you?
What does it matter? After I'm married, I don't want to.
Okay, this is on tape.
I don't know. We're on tape here, but I don't know. I don't know if
it's okay. It's okay to bring up just a personal experience I had.
No. Wait till they leave and then we turn off the tape. Oh. Don't we have any questions? Anybody else?
Oh, I did want you to talk about it. I can't remember.
Okay, because I'm available. I'm not running anywhere. Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming.